Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
We are going to talk this morning about Mary Washington Hospital's Level 3 NICU unit, and we have a couple of people associated with that with us on the phone, as we do on the phone always these days. Dr. Joshua Attridge is the medical director of the neonatal intensive care unit at Mary Washington Hospital. Dr. Attridge, it's great to have you here. Good morning.
Good morning, Ted. Thanks for having us on.
Also, Nancy Young is here, the nurse manager for the NICU unit at Mary Washington. Nancy, it is great to have you here this morning. Good morning, and welcome to the show.
Good morning, and thanks for having us.
Why don't we'll start off, because this is a pretty big deal that Mary Washington Hospital has a level 3 NICU. Talk about what that means and what the different levels are, and how important and vital it is that we have that in this area. And either one of you can jump in.
I'll let you speak first, Dr. Attridge.
So a level 3 NICU is a NICU that's able to take care of babies who are born extremely prematurely. So there's different levels of care nationally that have been designated by the American Academy of Pediatrics. And most people are familiar with what's a level 1 or a general newborn nursery. And so that is able to take care of babies who are born at a full term, so after 37 to 40 weeks of pregnancy. And they don't have any specific issues with breathing or infection or anything else like that. The next step up is a level 2 nursery, and that is able to take care of babies who are a little bit premature, what we call late preterm. And that allows them to stabilize babies for the first 24 or 48 hours, assuming that those babies are able to transition and then get better fairly quickly. The advantage of a level 3 is that we have a NICU that's able to take care of babies as premature as 23 weeks, 24 weeks. They're babies who are extremely small, almost 4 months premature, down to 1 pound, and that we're able to keep those babies here in the community without having to send them down to Richmond, or in our case, usually up to Washington, D.C., to Children's National.
Thinking on, in addition to obviously having the only level 3 NICU in this area, I'm very proud to say we have a full staff of 37 nurses, most of who are specially trained and certified in neonatal intensive care. What that means is they actually have additional coursework and studies that they do, and they take a national test, and they're recognized nationally for their expertise in neonatal intensive care nursing.
When you talked about Dr. Attridge, when you talked about 1 pound, how big? And I'm just thinking of things I've seen when we've done the fundraisers each year up at Children's National, when they show us the diapers, just how small that actually is. It's kind of hard. Even when you see pictures of the child, or even you see pictures of things like diapers, it's hard to get your head around just how tiny you are in what you're dealing with.
Yeah, it's really amazing how small some of these babies are. I think we all, when we think of size, it's everything is relative, and so we have sort of what's familiar to us. And so probably one of the best analogies or visuals I can give people is if you have a ring on a finger, either a wedding band or something else like that, babies who are this size, their entire arm will fit through that ring. And so you think about, your finger and that's, you can look down and see that right in front of you, but this is the entire arm of a baby. And so sometimes you'll see pictures sometimes of families who have had like a wedding ring on their baby's arm or things like that. So it's really just it's incredibly small, and there are limitations to what we can do. But at the same point, I think that there's it is amazing sometimes. And the thing that is most striking for all of us who deal in neonatal intensive care is that when we see these babies when they're first born, how small and vulnerable and fragile they are, and then we'll see them at our reunions and they're strapping 4, 5, 6, 10-year-olds running around, and it's really remarkable.
that has to be, when you, a situation like that, that has to be just thrilling. I mean, for both doctors, nurses, parents, but especially for you all that deal with it, especially in the early days, to see something like that.
I'm going to have to go in and join this conversation now. The reunions are extremely important here in the community. Our nurses actually independently organized a reunion annually, probably more than 15 years ago, and even before that. We've become more formal with it and with invitations now electronically through a NICU reunion Facebook page where the families actually post pictures of their thriving children, and we get to actually kind of watch their milestones as they grow. But the annual reunion is a lot of fun. The families come back, and I would say that's probably one of the most important things is that here in Fredericksburg, the families who do need to have their babies in an intensive care unit, especially a level three, we recognize them as a community, as our family. So when they come to our NICU, when they come to Mary Washington and choose to have their baby here, it's a very personal experience. You know, our nurses bond with these families. Some of these families are with us, you know, 2, 3, 4 months. And, you know, we literally grow with them and care for their babies. But as a community, you know, it's really important. Many of our nurses will be out and about and we'll see the families. And it's a reunion anywhere from, you know, at a shopping center or, you know, even at a park. But the annual reunions are in particularly very special. The nurses look forward to it every year.
Oh, I can't imagine. Nancy, you talked a few minutes ago about just the training and all that goes into to a NICU nurse, and to be dealing with these kind of things. Is the training, I would think, would be even a lot more intense and a lot more than just a regular nurse would go through.
It is. It's you know, in addition to you know, obviously going to nursing school and having that background of just being a registered nurse, is definitely a specialty training area. Many of our nurses, there's a variety of ways. A lot of our nurses come to us with experience from other hospitals where they had their formal training. We actually have nurses that literally left nursing school, came to the NICU, and trained for almost 12 weeks. They had classroom didactic experiences as well as hands-on clinical training with our nurse experts. It is a specialty. I mean, as Dr. Attridge was describing, these very small and fragile babies, you know, these babies aren't ready to eat and take bottles. So, for example, IV access is really important, you know, actually feeding them their nutrition through their veins, and, you know, the skill set to even just put IVs in these little fragile babies is quite quite important. And honestly, everything we do, because they are so fragile. You talked about the small diapers, you know, everything is, you know, the equipment is big, but the babies are small, and that specialty to be able to handle these babies in a way that is safe and you know, and actually meets all of their needs is quite extraordinary, actually.
Nancy Young is the nurse manager of the neonatal intensive care unit at Mary Washington Hospital. Also, Dr. Attridge, Dr. Joshua Attridge is here. He is the medical director of that unit at Mary Washington Hospital. We're talking about the level 3 NICU at Mary Washington this morning, and we need to take a quick break. We'll be right back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Miss an episode of Town Talk? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Music. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Our focus this morning, Mary Washington Hospital's Level 3 NICU. Dr. Joshua Attridge is here. He's the medical director, and Nancy Young is the nurse manager. In the last segment, Nancy, you talked about the fact that sometimes this can go on for months, and the thought that comes to mind is, how great is it that if you live around here and can be at Mary Washington, how much easier that is instead of having to be somewhere out of town, either, you know, northwest or south of here.
Exactly. And Ted, that's a really important point because, you know, when these moms come to Mary Washington to deliver their babies, whether it was an expected delivery and we knew the baby was coming earlier, there were complications associated with the pregnancy, and we can plan for it. They can actually tour the NICU. They can meet Dr. Attridge, myself. meet some of our NICU care team, and we start to form that bond right from the beginning when we anticipate it. And for those moms that it's unexpected, you know, to have their families and their support systems close is critically important. You know, just even for the ease of adjusting to what it's like to have a premature baby in the neonatal intensive care unit for weeks, sometimes months. And the convenience of visiting and, you know, being able to, if the moms are pumping breast milk, bring the milk, you know, when it's fresh and we have the freezers and the refrigerators to store it, as opposed to having to travel out of town and how you're going to, even transportation, how you're going to get to, you know, Washington, D.C. or Richmond. If you live here in Fredericksburg, it's sometimes a real hardship for some of the families here in Fredericksburg.
And boy, the thing about this is, and now, like you said, in some cases, you know that there might be problems, but in a lot of times, I know you don't. And it's you know, this ended up in the NICU is not something you expect to happen.
Yeah, no, it's never something that I think people plan for, obviously. I think that if with antenatal ultrasounds or prenatal ultrasounds, sometimes we can identify issues that might require a NICU. But for most people, when they find out that they're pregnant, imagining themselves in an intensive care unit is not what they envision. So having that here in the community and having the opportunity and the ability to be able to care for babies who are sicker, if that were to happen, God forbid, that really, I think, gives a lot of peace of mind to families so that they know they're going to get that best care for their babies. I think one of the things to also emphasize, and that I think that actually neonatology, the field, has done a lot better with in the last 4 or 5 years, is trying to not separate moms and babies. And so I think that we've done a real emphasis on decreasing the amount of antibiotics that we use or other interventions and putting in IVs for sugar and things like that. So there's a lot of things that we do to try to keep moms with babies in a nursery environment, because we do know that that's where babies are going to do the best, as long as they're healthy. And so that's become a real focus. But having that safety net that's there so that if things aren't going well, I think that really is a tremendous addition that Mary Washington provides the community.
Boy, and how difficult I'm sure it has to be for either you, Dr. Attridge, or for Nancy with the nurses, because especially early on, and everything is so new. And like you say, this is just not something you expect. And it, as a parent, I would be just terrified at first, because you look at the equipment and it's impressive, but it just, you all of a sudden look at that and your small baby, and I know you just would want to just feel like this can't be happening.
You know, Ted, I think that just what you were saying, it's so true. For many of these families, it's very scary. Just, again, the overwhelming feeling of the intensive care unit, the equipment, the alarms, the ventilators, you know, the pumps, all those things. It's very scary, and I think that's one thing we absolutely try to do as a NICU care team, is really involve the families with the care of their babies within reason. You know, they will learn how to take their baby's temperature. They'll learn how to do a diaper change. Even on those little one-pound babies, we try very early to get those families, you know, to be part of the care delivery, because we do know that the moms are the best caregivers. They may not be able to do what we do, but we can never be the moms. So even the dads, you know, we provide opportunities for them to really to help take care of their baby when it's safest and when it's possible. I think, too, the partnership with our maternal fetal medicine physicians is really important, because sometimes we do know ahead of time that babies will be coming to the NICU early on. And, you know, Dr. Attridge and his neonatologists and our nurse practitioners, you know, they will do consults with these moms and get to know what the face of the physician is going to look like and actually start talking about what the plan of care will look like for their baby as best as we can tell them.
There is a terrific video on YouTube. You both are on that Mary Washington did. If you go to YouTube and Mary Washington Hospital Level 3 NICU, you'll be able to find it. And you kind of get a lay of the land. You see the equipment there. There's the two of you talking, and it's great information. And I you know, if you or someone you know may be dealing with this, it's worth looking at, because I watched it and just felt like, as a parent, I think I would feel much at ease just the way you describe things and show things, and it's worth a look.
I would like to also, Dr. Adrich, maybe you can help with this, with our expertise with delivering multiples. We've had some really great journeys with families of multiples where we know they're coming, and we literally make sure we have a care team where every baby has their own nurse, every baby has their own neonatologist or nurse practitioner, and a dedicated respiratory therapist. And it's very organized. It's very... very planned, and the families at that point get to know the team before delivery, and we try to make sure it's a very inclusive experience, but making sure that each baby has exactly what they need, to provide the care that they need after delivery.
Yeah, I mean, we've, in the last couple of years, have had, twins seem like it's every other day kind of thing at some point, I have to admit. But then, even triplets and quadruplets that we've had, we've been blessed to be able to take care of in the NICU. And it is really, it's not just adding another baby. It's really adding an entire another team or set of hands. And it really requires the planning and sort of thought process of working through every step. And it's interesting, I would say, that actually one of the things that, all of us are being affected by right now, obviously, is the COVID-19, but that in looking back at some of our preparedness and preparing for that in our NICU, a lot of the experience or thought process that we used in identifying how we were going to work through each of those steps came from our experience with working with multiples and trying to deal with how are we going to deal with four babies being delivered at one time that all need higher amounts of care. And it's that kind of attention to detail and planning through that allows us to provide better care, because I think that all of us do better when we've had a dry run or planning or practice. I think any high school sports coach will tell you that you play like you practice. So if you have enough time getting practice down, then you're going to play well. So that's something that we definitely benefit from.
But I want to give a shout out to Dr. Attridge as a great leader for us, because when this COVID-19, when we knew it was here, he immediately led the team and began the mapping of what it would look like. We pulled everybody together, labor and delivery, the NICU nurses, respiratory therapists, all the disciplines that would be necessary for a successful delivery if it happens. And honestly, I have to say that we were more prepared and still are with that early mapping and planning and pre-briefing and practicing. We are honestly as prepared as you need to be for the event that it should happen.
But yeah, we focus on what's going on today and just kind of in our everyday lives. But for those of you in the NICU, it's even more pronounced, I guess, in these days.
It really is, but I think it's what we do, and it's what we do really well is we plan. We plan and we prepare and we drill and we, as you said, Dr. Ivory, we practice. And every morning we have safety huddle twice a day with our team, and we go over the what ifs and what's the plan for the day. So our team is always ready. They have what they need to do their job and the skill set to do it, and all the disciplines are ready to be part of the care team.
Well, and like you said, Dr. Attridge, a few minutes ago, it's kind of like a coach, I guess, that you drill, and then when it's game time, you hope that that's what you do that for.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's it is a good analogy in a lot of ways, and I think that for us, and one of the things that as you add different layers of complexity, it's having those different teams in place, and so. We have the NICU team, but we work extremely closely with obviously all of our OB colleagues, and then our OB colleagues, and we work with the anesthesia team so that we can get everything together for each aspect of care and each variable that may come up. And so, you talk about sort of offense, defense, special teams for football. Each of those have to really be hitting on all cylinders to be successful. And I think that, one of the things that I think that we've learned, or been that we learned by this whole situation that we're going through right now, is how much we really do rely on one another, and that we see the advertisements and that we'll get through this together kind of stuff on TV, but that that's even more so true, I think, in a healthcare setting. And I'm really, really proud of how the entire community at Mary Washington, from the adult care folks and the ICUs and the emergency rooms, have really come together with that.
Mary Washington Hospital's Level 3 NICU, our focus this morning. Dr. Joshua Attridge is here. He is the manager, the medical director of the unit. Nancy Young is here, and she is the nurse manager. More coming up. We're going to talk about a partnership with Children's National and continue to talk about this Level 3 NICU and what it means for us locally at Mary Washington Hospital. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is now coming up on 8:30.
I had the radio on. I'm listening to
Talk Done Right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. You can weigh in about today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Mary Washington Hospital's Level 3 NICU, our focus this morning. Dr. Joshua Attridge is here. Nancy Young is the nurse manager, and she is here this morning. I didn't talk with either of you about kind of how you got involved in what you're doing. Dr. Attridge, how did you decide this was the field you wanted to get involved with?
Well, I had been a premature baby myself, and I'd been in the NICU when I was born for a few weeks, and had some complications from being in the NICU. So I have all these kind of cool scars that I can show people from there. But I had spent a lot of time in the first few years of my life just going to doctors and things like that. And so I thought I wanted to be a doctor because I just kind of thought it was kind of cool and that everyone got to do this. And so, and when I initially went, I thought I was going to be a pediatrician. And I, in my residency, so the way that people do their training for doctors, they do 4 years of medical school, and that training is pretty much the same. And then they'll go and do some specialization, either a pediatrician or a family doctor or an internal medicine doctor or things like that. So I did my residency, and in that residency, I was introduced to the NICU there, and I just really enjoyed it and liked the physiology and the ability to procedures. And then I stayed on, and so I did another 3 years after my residency of subspecialty training of neonatology. So everyone who's a neonatologist has done an extra fellowship in neonatology, similar to how an adult cardiologist has done a specialization in cardiology after doing a medicine residency. And so that's how I got here. And I did all my training here in Virginia at the University of Virginia, and just loved the area and stuck around.
Well, we're glad you did. Nancy, what's your story?
Yeah, mine is a long story. I literally graduated from nursing school in 1981. You can do the math. So 39 years I've been a nurse. I went to nursing school because when in the 70s, that's what you were. You were a teacher or a nurse. And I actually had no intention of working as a nurse. I thought, something to fall back on, and, you know, I'll do other interesting things. And, you know, lo and behold, started working and started with adults. And over the years, my husband's in the military, and every time we moved, I took advantage of whatever opportunity there was to work part-time or whatever was happening in our lives. And I guess it was probably 1993. We were in Winston-Salem. My husband was in school there. And I was invited to, I had been a pediatric nurse. I was invited to come and help out in the NICU, and everything changed. I was like, yeah, no, I love this. It was everything about it, from procedures to the population. You know, I loved teaching. I loved, you know, just having that whole family-centered experience with the moms, the dads, the grandparents. And so 27 years ago, I went through my six-month training and has been in the NICU ever since. So no other place I'd rather be.
And just the technology today and what you're able to do is just it just always amazes me.
It's incredible. Even from when I think back to my training in the early 90s, what we did then and what we do now, you know, it just gets better and gentler and safer for our babies. It's the differences are probably, Dr. Irish, you're too young to know. When we didn't have pulse oximetry for each of the babies, it was a different world. We would spot check them, just checking their oxygen saturations, and just the evidence and the best practices that have evolved over all these years. It's pretty incredible.
Now, and it just what you're able to, like you said, I mean, what you're able to do over the years, and just I guess situations that years ago would have been very difficult, maybe to be able to treat, a lot of that now you can do.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely, yeah. I mean, it's pretty remarkable when you think about, as Nancy was saying, the advancements in different technology, and that both our ability to monitor conditions, and so just the amount of data that we're able to collect and actually look at for oxygen levels or what their nutritional status is or things like that, but also just the imaging that we can do and the way that we can visualize the heart or the brain and really unlock some of the questions about what's going on and be able to better answer for families what's happening with why something isn't proceeding the way that we expect with our infants, and that's some of the images that are created are really just astounding. So it's pretty remarkable.
Dr. Etheridge, talk about the partnership that Mary Washington has with Children's National, because you're part of that.
Yeah, so all of the NICU group is we're all employed by Children's National, so I'll make that disclaimer up front, so Children's is nationally recognized as one of the top children's hospitals in the country, obviously, and it has the number one neonatology program by U.S. News & World Report, which is something that they're very proud of, and they've had that for the last 3 years, so that's a really big deal. One of the most important things in any type of NICU situation, especially for us, but also at a bigger children's hospital like they have in D.C., is that it's not just the neonatal care or that the doctors or the physicians who specialize in just the newborns. It's also some of those ancillary services, so looking at cardiologists or neurology or other things like that. And so at Mary Washington, we're able to take advantage of a lot of those things, and that we have telemedicine set up so that we can do echocardiograms or ultrasounds of the heart and send those up to Children's and have the doctors look at them there. We can do EEGs of the brain and send those up and have the doctors at Children's look at them there. And then recently, Children's has actually opened up what's called an outpatient setting or an outpatient clinic where those doctors are physically coming down here to Fredericksburg to be able to see our pediatric patients and our NICU graduates in their clinic. So we have heart doctors coming down and going to be having GI and endocrine and all those other subspecialties. And that's one of the best things, I think, with that partnership between Mary Washington and Children's National is bringing some of that pediatric expertise of those subspecialists down to our community. And I think that's probably one of the things that the changes over the last year or so that we're probably most proud of is the opening of that Children's outpatient clinic.
Boy, when you think about it, Nancy, we talked earlier about just what, being in the in the NICU, being here locally, having some of that as outpatient around here and to have that locally is important too.
Oh, it's so exciting to know that those subspecialists are going to be here serving our community, our patients that need that service, as opposed to, like we talked about, the hardship of having to travel out of town and go up for appointments. Again, it can be a real hardship for families. So I think this is a very exciting time in Fredericksburg for the pediatric population.
Talk about the neonatal transport team and what that does and how that ties in here.
Yeah, so pretty exciting. I actually started the neonatal transport team. It'll be 11 years ago this coming summer in July. We have our nurse-led team. They're specially trained to do advanced procedures. We have respiratory therapists that also go out on transport. And what that means is that for the babies that are born in our sister hospitals, our neighboring hospitals, Spotsylvania Regional Medical Center and Stafford Hospital in particular, when those babies need that level 3 care, Our transport team can go and pick up those babies and bring them to Mary Washington and keep them here in the community. Our transport team is serviced by LifeCare ambulance. They have a dedicated ambulance that's just for the neonates. We've got all the equipment we need and the team to go and bring those babies to us that need that higher level of care that cannot be provided at those hospitals because they are not level three NICUs.
And you talked earlier about how the nurses here had gone through some more specialized training. So I guess they're able to be part of that. They go along on the transport?
Correct. So we have a dedicated, I think there's right now five transport nurses that are considered nurse leaders, which means that they can do advanced procedures and also lead the transport team because this is a nurse-led team. The neonatologist who's on service here at Mary Washington is our medical control physician during the transport. So they will dictate the orders that the nurses will carry out, but the nurses actually lead the team and go and provide care to the baby at those hospitals, stabilize them, and then bring them to Mary Washington.
You both, we're talking about Mary Washington Hospital's Level 3 NICU this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Nancy Young is the nurse manager. She joins us by phone along with Dr. Joshua Attridge. He's he's the medical director. You both talked about how, we talked a little bit earlier about just involving parents in everything. How do you set up, I guess you start working on a plan of care with parents probably right away for, you know, the first day you get into it.
Yeah, we have a great, we're really blessed to have some amazing obstetricians in our community. And so when they bring in a mother who, for whatever reason, may have to deliver early, so maybe her water's broken or maybe she's got really bad high blood pressure and preeclampsia, there's a variety of reasons that cause babies to need to be born early. But they'll consult us so that we'll actually go and meet with the families prior to the babies being born and kind of go over what to expect. And I kind of joke with them that one of the things that is probably the best thing that the babies can get is not anything that we can provide as doctors and nurses. It's the breast milk that they can provide. Mm-hmm. And so having that conversation about when your baby is born prematurely, they're not going to have the energy or the ability to breastfeed because they're feeding for them is physically a very hard thing to do. And so in order to get mom's milk supply up, they're going to need to begin pumping. So they you know, I give them homework. They have to, as soon as they've just gone through a big C-section delivery or had a baby, and I say, all right, I'm taking your baby away. I'm so sorry. We're going to stabilize them and make sure everything's okay. You need to start pumping because the real cure, the way that the vast majority of babies in the NICU improve, we do a lot of things as neonatologists and as nurses to stabilize and to keep babies, oxygen level stable and blood sugar stable and temperature stable. But the way they really get better is by getting them the optimal nutrition. And the best thing that we can give these babies is really going to be mother's milk. So we really spend a lot of time working with them on that. And then after the babies are born and they're coming into the NICU, even babies who are still on a breathing machine or still need to be in an incubator, we'll take them out and we'll actually do what we call skin-to-skin or kangaroo care, where we have the mom sit and we'll place the babies on their chest and have the mom or the dad will really be the incubator. And they'll be the one who's keeping that baby warm and providing that skin. And there's been some great studies that have shown that helps to decrease the baby's stress levels, it decreases the mom's stress levels. It helps increase mom's milk production. So there's a lot of that back and forth that we do before the babies are born, after they're born, and then preparing them to be able to go home. And again, the people who really are doing the lion's share of that are our frontline nurses because they are the people who are seeing those families four, five, six times a day when they come in. You know, I sort of stop by and say hi to folks and maybe sit down and talk for 15 or 20 minutes. But for anyone who's been in the hospital, you know, It's the frontline staff of nurses and respiratory therapists and occupational therapists and physical therapists who are coming and sitting down and working through every little part of the hospitalization that are really your lifeline in some ways about getting information.
And I'd like to add too that the one thing that that we do here is we do grand rounds, interdisciplinary rounds, every day, once a day, and our families are invited to come in and listen to all the details of the plan of care, from whether, again, it's respiratory support or medications or the feeding plan, you know, whatever lab tests are going to be done, and the parents get a full overview of really what's happening in the next 24 hours for their baby, and they get to ask questions. The whole team is there, our dedicated pharmacists, our physical therapists, our respiratory therapists, you know, the nursing staff, the physician leadership. You know, it's a big group, our case managers, where you really do have a full care team, and the family is invited to be part of it, ask questions, give input. It's a pretty special time every day when we get to see our families be present for the grand rounds.
Boy, and I'm sure for families too, it's reassuring to know, just as you talk about all those different disciplines involved, as a parent, I'm feeling hopeful that I have so many people involved with the care of my child or children.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
What's really interesting is as we talk about all the technology and all the things you can do when Dr. Attridge, when you talked about breast milk right away is one of the is one of the best things that we can give the child.
Yeah, so I mean, again, especially for these premature babies, it really is nutrition that is what is the key for them, and the best form of that is always going to be the mom's breast milk. And we're blessed at Mary Washington to have a dedicated lactation specialist team, and they come in and work just with the NICU moms, so that we have some of them who really will focus on that in addition to going and working on the well baby nursery outside. You know, the challenges for neonatology and for those very premature babies is that they're not able to take all of the nutrition into their stomachs right away. And so a lot of what we were talking about at the beginning is, you know, putting in IVs or other things like that to help stabilize, so that we have to do a lot in the first maybe 1 or 2 weeks for our premature babies to transition them to where they're getting all that breast milk into their stomachs and in their intestines, as they're able to handle that. And in the meantime, we have to have some other way of giving them IV nutrition. And so one of the things that a level 3 NICU like ours provides is that ability to customize the IV nutrition that we're giving every day. And so as we're getting that transition over to where they're getting all the breast milk and getting all the things that mom is providing, we have to have a way of bridging that. And that's really kind of the key, and probably the biggest thing that what we provide as a level 3 NICU is that initial step to get you over the hump for that first 2 to 4 weeks or so, so that then we can get you healthy and just growing on breast milk in an incubator. And that's the fun part.
Mm-hmm.
Mary Washington Hospital's Level 3 NICU, our focus this morning. Dr. Joshua Attridge is here. He's the medical director. Nancy Young is the nurse manager. We will wrap this up when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Opinions, we've all got them, and we'd like to hear yours on Town Talk. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Mary Washington Hospital's Level 3 NICU, our focus this morning. Dr. Joshua Attridge, the medical director there. Nancy Young is here as the nurse manager. Great stuff this morning and great information. And when we get guests back in studio, you two, I'd like to have you both come in sometime, and we'll talk about this in studio again and drill down on what's going on. Real quick, a couple of things with the pandemic going on. Any precautions that pregnant women should take to protect themselves and their baby in these days?
I think in general, it's a lot of the same common sense stuff that you're seeing for everyone, which is being very vigilant about washing your hands, not going out and exposing yourself to crowds if you don't need to. I think that obviously keeping track of tick counts and making sure that you're staying well hydrated, I think, is very important. And if you have questions, you know, talking with your OBs, I think that there's a tremendous amount of resources within our community to be able to tap into. And so if you're scared or uncertain about something, talk with your healthcare provider. And that's really the best advice, I think, that we can provide for everyone.
Yeah, and I think we've been having meetings every week with our OB groups, and they are dedicated to making sure our moms are safe, and they are up to date on all the best practices and what the literature is presenting, as all this is so new. But I have to say that even when we were doing the mapping and the planning for what to do in case a mom does come in and she is COVID positive, and how we would, you know, deliver that baby. You know, they were great resources, and I think, like you said, Dr. Atwood, just reach out to your practitioners, because they are the experts.
Before we get out of here this morning, again, our focus has been this morning, Mary Washington Hospital's Level 3 NICU. And Dr. Atridge, talk about just the differences. What makes the Mary Washington's Level 3 NICU what it is, and just what a valuable resource it is to the community?
So some of it is that there are state designations for just how small or how premature you can take care of in your own hospital. So having a level 3 NICU allows us to take care of those babies who are less than 32 weeks, less than 1,500 grams, and it makes it so that we can provide the care for them that we need to in our community, and that we don't have to be sending them out to some other location. I think that some of the confusion is that, you know, well, what does that mean? How does that differ from a level 2 that might be some of our local community areas? And it's really that level of prematurity. And with the expertise, because some of those other places can take care of babies who are a little bit older that may have respiratory issues, but they really can't take care of them for very long. They're not supposed to take care of them for more than 24 hours or so. And so if you've got babies who need a higher level of support with CPAP or extra oxygen or a ventilator or anything else like that, they really need to be at a higher level of care NICU, and that's one that we have here in our community, and you don't have to go up to Northern Virginia or down to Richmond to get that care.
But Nancy Young, the nurse manager, when you think you talked earlier about just how important it is to be able to be treated here, but also just the level of training that that your nurses have.
Correct. Yeah, they are. As I said earlier, we have the highest number of certified nurses with the specialty of neonatal intensive care, and what that means is they have that advanced knowledge. They have studied. They have taken a national exam, and they have. They can prove that they are the nurse expert that the babies need when it comes to level 3 nursing care delivery.
Mary Washington Hospital's Level 3 NICU. Great on YouTube. If you go check it out, a video with both of our guests, and just some great information. Dr. Joshua Atridge is the medical director for the Level 3 NICU at Mary Washington. Nancy Young is here, the nurse manager. Thank you both for what you do, especially in these days. Just knowing that this kind of Level 3 care is here, and all that you're doing. Great stuff, and look forward to having you in studio sometime to talk about it.
Thank you so much, Chad, for having us. Thanks for having us.
Look forward to doing it again and again. Thanks for what you do. That's it for Town Talk. We need to go. We will see you in the morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own, and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.